May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 241. 241. Repentance is a gift bestowed to save a soul from death. Gospel repentance towards God is always joined to faith. Hymn number 241.
Read together from God's holy word, from Deuteronomy chapter 33. If you have one of the free Bibles, it's page 228, the Ruby Bible, 228. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou who art the same that was with the church in the wilderness, Lord, we do seek that we might know our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, but that we might know thee in these gospel days. In these days thou hast spoken unto us by thy beloved Son. We thank thee for him that is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, thou who art the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. O Lord, who grant thy blessing on this assembly here at Swayze this evening. May thy divine presence be known and felt to accompany the word with power, with dew and unction and a sweet savour of Christ. Lord, who grant us that anointing which we so need, and that thou hast grant that thy word might go forth and bring forth fruit, falling into prepared ground. Lord, thou knowest what kind of hearers are here this evening. And Lord, we do seek that there might be those for whom thy word is such a welcome word, that drops in, that takes root, that begins to grow, that does grow, that does bring forth fruit. O Lord, we do commit thy word into thine hand. Lord, cause it to prosper in the thing whereto thou didst send it. O Lord, we do thank thee for the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. And Lord, we do plead the provisions of it, that thou hast quickened thy dead elect, that thou hast added unto thy church daily such as should be saved, that thou hast restored those that have fallen away, those who have lost their first love, do bring that again, that Christ is first and all in all to us. Remember those that walk in darkness, grant them light. Do grant, Lord, that thou send thy word and heal those, O Lord, that are afflicted and tried and tempted and far off. Lord, the cases that are too hard for man, Lord, we would bring them unto thee. Lord, we do seek to commit the young into thy hand, to call them by thy grace, work in their hearts while they are young. Bless that which they learn in the Sunday school. Help their teachers and bless them. And Lord, do grant to a rising generation those great gifts and blessings that cannot be measured for their worth. O Lord, save from this present bewitching world those that are brought up under the sound of the truth, that thy blessing might be upon them, upon such as thou shalt call. Lord, we do seek that there might be the children rising up in the place of their fathers and grandfathers, and that there might be those that tell to the generation following the wonderful works of God from a first-hand personal experience of those wonderful works. Lord, remember then this cause of truth, those that bear the burden and heat of the day, Lord, those that are in the eventide of their lives. Remember those that are careless and indifferent, and to awaken them to a need of the Saviour, to deliver those that come as a door upon its hinges. Lord, do grant there might be those things that stir up to make there to be a remembered difference in hearing time, to sanctify and make to work together those things we pass through in life's journey, that there might be those things of which we can say, it changed our prayers, it changed our hearing, it gave us blessings that we would not have had otherwise. O Lord, do cause to work for good that which on its own would be a curse and work for evil. Do pray, Lord, that thou hast forgive and pardon our many, many sins. Grant us, Lord, that where we have been hardened, do soften us. Grant us the gift of repentance that we have sung of, that godly sorrow for sin. O Lord, be pleased to bless us with those blessings that have the answer of the work of God upon them, that they might be seen and known and read of all men. We pray for grace, grace to help in time of need. We pray for saving grace to those that do not have it here, and those that have it, do grant enduring grace. Do be pleased to help us, that we might walk worthy of that great name wherewith we are called. We do thank thee for every blessing, Lord, the showers that have been on the earth. We so need the rain, and we thank thee for every drop. We pray that it might fall on those areas that are so dry and parched at this time. We do thank thee also for the sunshine, for the beautiful days, for peace in our land, for our food and raiment, for running water, for electricity, for light, for power, for warmth, for cooling. We thank thee for those things we take for granted so often. And O Lord, do be pleased to give us thankful hearts for thy word, for our families, for those who love thy name, for the house of God. for the word of God, for the gospel, for thy servants, for those in the church that look after it and bear the burden of it, for the deacons here. We thank thee for one another in the Lord. We pray for churches round about, those who have already attended to their services this day, do bless that already heard, and those who come for a third service, do bless them as they gather with us here. And, O Lord, be pleased to be with the flocks as they gather. My own flock at home, do bless them, thy dear servant labouring at Cranbrook, and do be with each hill of Zion as they gather together this evening. And we do pray for those in other lands, our churches in Australia, America and Canada. O Lord, do remember them each. And Lord, do supply pastors, those that shall minister to them on a regular basis. We thank thee for means that they do have. We pray for the pastors and ministers that are in Canada and America. And Lord, that thou be pleased to grant help in those congregations. We seek also thy blessing and those that regularly listen into our stream services, and those who listen to the recordings, those in Canada and in places that they do not have any place of worship that they may go to at all. O Lord, do remember them and be with them. Be with dear brethren in Holland. We have many that we know and love in the truth there, and we do seek to commit them unto thee. We do seek, Lord, that thou shine upon our churches. Do bless, Lord, the societies. Remember Bethesda, and do remember that which is planned in this locality opposite the chapel. We pray thy blessing on those plans and arrangements, and that it might be seen in time to come, a real appointment and blessing to many that come and to worship here and in the surrounding churches. We see thy blessing upon the services that are due in this week, especially at Oakington, the special services there. Help thy dear servant and do bless his ministry as it has been blessed in time past to dear brethren here. And, O Lord, do be pleased to remember thy aid servants. We do thank thee that so many are still able to preach in increased years. But, O Lord, when we look at the age of those of us on the gospel standard list, O, do raise up younger men, do thrust forth more to stand upon the walls of Zion. And, Lord, do strengthen and revive our churches. We are mindful of how many of us are so very, very small. It may be a congregation like this does not realise how low so many of our churches are. O Lord, do be pleased to shine and revive us again. Now, Lord, do forgive and pardon what we ask amiss. Grant us strength, strength of utterance, clarity of mind, and thy blessing upon the word this evening hour. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 614, 614. The Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. Hymn 614.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and reading for our text, verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, which is the latter part of the blessing on Asher. The Lord has been pleased to leave on record the blessing on the tribes of Israel. Some of those blessings very clearly related to where they would be settled in the land of Canaan when they were brought in there. And they were given a lot. It didn't happen by chance. It was appointed where they should be, what blessings they would have, what advantages that they would have, what trials they would have. All was known, all was foretold, and it was always put in the form of a blessing. And sometimes we might think sometimes that what the Lord gives us, we can hardly call it a blessing. But if the Lord has given it to us for our good and profit, it is a blessing. The ill he blesses is our good unblessed is ill. And all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will. And so here we have a blessing for Asher. Now we know from Deuteronomy 8 that one of the beauties or attractions of the Promised Land was out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And some render the word here that instead of, and it is in the margin as well, instead of thy shoes shall be iron and brass, or under thy shoes iron and brass. The blessing that was actually there in that land. But whichever way it is, and the way that I want to bring it before you with the Lord's help this evening, is the blessing on those that walk in the ways of the Lord. When we think of shoes, we think of walking. And yes, what we walk on, where we are actually walking. When we're thinking of days as thy days, we're thinking of our life, our time here below. When we are thinking of these shoes of iron and of brass. Now brass is an alloy, it's a joining together of copper and zinc. If it was copper and tin, that would be bronze. But very often there's other elements introduced as well to improve the properties of that brass. Some of those is iron in put in. You've only got to put a bit of iron into the brass or bronze, and it will quickly make it magnetic. So you've got a substance that is strong. Also, in a lot of ways, it is corruption resistant. And the properties are increased by it actually being joined together. So we have this picture, not only of what may be mined underneath, but if we think of how it is rendered here, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And think of it in the walk of the Lord's people. It's one thing to believe, it's one thing to begin in the way, it's another to continue in the way all our days. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And those that are under this blessing, in their lot, in the place appointed for Asher, That is where they are going to walk. That is where they continue. Sadly, we find with Israel, often they turn to idols, they turned away from the living God. But what a blessing it is if the Lord gives us that strength and that endurance, that we endure unto the end, whatever we have to walk on, wherever we must walk, and for however long we must walk, that we have this blessing. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So I want to look at 3 points. Firstly, a blessing on where we walk. On where we walk. And I'm thinking there of the rendering here, under thy shoes, that which is under where we would be walking in this lot of Asher. But secondly, a blessing on the shoes we walk with. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And lastly, a blessing on the days of our life. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. A threefold blessing in this latter part for Asher. But firstly, a blessing on where we walk. God's children will know this. When they are called to walk here below. And it is, as our Lord prayed, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Your walk, my walk, the walk of all called by grace, is not in monasteries and separated, but it's in the world, but not of the world. And we must be sure of that, to know that, that we are sinners and we dwell with sinners. The Church of God is made up of sinners. It's always sad when you find those that seem to never be able to join with the church because there's always something wrong with it, something that they find wrong, and so they never sit under the truth. They never have a pastor. They shun the church, and yet full of criticism of those that do gather together and do have churches. It's very sad when that is the case. But we know that here below, the Lord has never appointed it, that there should be perfection here below. There will be sin. There will be differences of opinion. There will be those things of which there are conflicts. But it's how they are dealt with what grace, with what looking to the Lord, how these things work for us. It applies to so many things. We might get illness. How do we deal with that illness? We might have a conflict with someone. How do you deal with that conflict? We might have flattery. How do we deal with that? The pride of our own heart. How do we deal with that? A lot of things in the walk, where we walk, wherever we walk, you'll find sin, you'll find opposition, you'll find corruption, you'll find no help here below at all. And so we need to really know this. We said, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is a walking and there's a place to walk. And we are mindful of what a difference that makes. And you think of just walking normally, whether you walk on a tarmac road, nice and smooth, around Cranbrook. Sometimes I choose to walk on the road than the pavement because the pavements are so rough and it's smoother on the road. They're rather dangerous on the road. But then you go to into the woods and you've got all the mud and everything that's there. You think, don't you, if you're going to go somewhere walking, you think, am I going to need Wellington boots or am I going to need shoes, dress shoes, what, and you're thinking of where you're going to walk. Well, as we walk through this world, we need to realize what kind of a world it is and what kind of shoes that we will need. And yet to know the Lord knows the place. He has appointed the place. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we just choose just to walk anywhere. You know, when Abraham and Lot, they separated. Abraham, he gave Lot the choice. Where do you want to go? He looked over. He saw all the plains of that were near Lot and of Jericho. Yes, I'll go there. And he goes there, and before long he's found actually in Sodom and vexing his righteous soul day by day with their sinful deeds. And what a place to go. I mean, nearly cost him his life, and certainly did of his wife and many of his relations and all of his goods. We mustn't be careful where we actually go, where we walk in that sense, but to be mindful of where the Lord would have us to go. But wherever we do go, instead of expecting all will be smooth and we will not need to be properly shod, we're to expect that wherever the Lord leads, that he will give such a promise as this: thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Many of our young people, when they've left home and they've gone to university and they've walked or gone in very different spheres than they have been used to at home, and such a promise as this to hold on to hang on to, is a good promise, because the Lord knows where he appoints his people to go, and he will give them those helps for those places. I often feel very thankful looking back some of the jobs I've had. When I first started an employment, and the Lord's put certain things in the way that I have had to make a stand within a week or so of actually starting there. And it's marked me out by those people. And yet I've seen the Lord's appointment, because right from the very start, they have known where I stood. And sometimes the Lord uses the fact that we know, that those around us know that we are a professing Christian, and when we haven't got the fear of God before our eyes, we might have the fear of man and think, well, if I do this, these are watching me. And quite often, if you put a foot wrong, they will pull you up. But the Lord orders that. And those things I have seen that he has brought into my path, he's put them there. And he's put them there because he knows the way, the path, and where I'm walking, and what I'll need is to help in that situation. What an encouragement to think that the Lord has in store a blessing for where we walk. When Jacob left his home, he'd always known the home. He was 60 years of age, you know. And then he flees from Esau, and that first night, stones for his pillow, he finds a blessing where he is walking. Most unlikely place, you might think. And then with Laban, is it all going to be smooth? No, Laban changes his wages 10 times, and in the most tender way, where he deceived him regarding Rachel and Leah. And yet the Lord was with him in all those places. What a beautiful promise. I'll be with thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. He gave him a similar promise as this. Jacob You're going to be walking and you're going to go from one place to another. You won't find it all smooth. You won't find it easy. But I will be with you. Where your walk is, where you will go. And it applies to us all. And it applies to the people of God. Perhaps this might be a help to some, because I know those exercised in the things of the Lord sometimes can have this as a real temptation you'll never endure. You might start, you might make a profession, but what about those things I shall have to go through? What about the places I will come into? How will I ever endure unto the end? Well, this is one of those blessings that points to what follows a profession. It is the walk. It is the endurance. It is chosen by God and the help is given by God. Now, maybe there are some of you in situations you think, how can a blessing be in this situation? How can a blessing be in this place? And yet, I have proved, the people of God have proved again and again that the Lord's blessing is where he leads his people, where his people are. Many a time in a workplace, many a time in a home, many a time out in the garden, sometimes in front of a hostile people that I've been teaching at trade school after work. And they've been blaspheming and they've been baiting me and they've been saying all manner of things. And I've thought week after week, that's the last time I'm going to stand in front of them. This is when I was only 24 years of age. And the next time they were all right. And I felt so bad that I thought, I'm the reason. It's my fault. I'm their teacher. I'm not keeping them in control. And therefore it's me that the evil things that they're saying. But then one time the Lord, as I stood in front of them, he dropped into my heart, on their part, he is evil spoken of, on your part, he is glorified. I never forget that sweet blessing from the epistles of Peter. And that was right in the midst of something so contrary. Never think that, well, the Lord can't be in this place. The Lord can't bless in this place. In this place where I walk, I can't expect the Lord to be there. He is everywhere. And he's given that promise with his people that he will be with them in their walk, in the places where they go, in the places where he instructs them to go. A blessing where we walk. And may we prove that. And may we prove to know where we can expect the blessings more particularly. The dear disciples being let go. Yes, they had helps. They had blessings with their adversaries. But being let go, they went to their own company. You know, dear Mary, where did she go? When they had taken away her Lord, she knew not where they had laid him, but she went to the last place where she had known him and had seen him. And that's where the Lord met with her. Right there. She returned there again. Well, Jacob really had been told to go back to Bethel, where the Lord had met with him there in Bethel. Hymn writer says, dost thou mind the spot and place where Jesus did thee meet? And we do. We think of those places where the Lord has called us to walk, literal places, places spiritually, places in our experience, places of trial, places of affliction. And they are places where we have proved there to be a blessing, where the Lord has called us to walk. And may this be a balance, the world's way, and it is ours as the Lord's people as well, to always think, well, if only I was there, the grass green of the other side of the fence, if only I could get out of this trial, then I'd have the Lord's blessing. Well, out of this situation into a different situation, then I'd have the Lord's blessing. Instead of thinking, the Lord has brought me to walk here and in this path, however trying, his blessing will be here. I'd much rather be in a place or walking in a way which I knew the Lord had directed and guided in, and yet it be a path of trial, than a path of ease and comfort, and yet be uncertain in my mind whether I was really in the way the Lord would have me to be and to go. It's a great blessing to know we are where the Lord would have us to be, even if it is a very unpleasant place. I believe the children of Israel, the Hebrew children in the fire, Daniel in the lion's den, or in captivity in Babylon, they found comfort in this. Those places that they were walking, the Lord knew, and he had chosen it, and there was to be a blessing. And certainly Daniel proved that blessing in the place where he was. And may we prove it so. May we prove Asher's blessing in this, that even under our feet are blessings. And you think of here, under their feet it had to be mined. It wasn't on the surface. And you might think with your situation, I can't see any blessing. No, but underneath there was. And there was the blessing. Sometimes they are hidden. They are not in first view. Sometimes it is looking back that then we can see the blessing, like dear Joseph could, that the Lord was in the matter right the way through. Well, the second point here, a blessing on the shoes we walk with. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, what are the shoes that a Christian walks with? My mind went to the armoury as spoken of in Ephesians, and that they be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That those shoes are part of the Christian's armour, that as he walks, he is shod with the gospel of peace. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The children of Israel, Paul says, that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. But Israel would have said, the Red Sea is in front, the Egyptians behind. There's the desert, there's no food, there's no meat, there's no drink. They murmured, they complained. But what a different testimony the Word of God has, that he led them forth by the right way. He went before them with the cloudy, fiery pillar. And that he suffered no nations to do them harm and to be watched over in all the ways that they went, turning the curse of Balaam to a blessing, changing the broken tables to making them complete tables, and put in the ark a beautiful type of Christ and the fulfilled law. And so we see their path, and that they went, if it is shod with the gospel of peace, if it is thinking this path I was going in, desert though it is, yet it has the gospel savour in it. It has the blessings of the gospel in it, good news of salvation. You think of this one. The Lord says, in me ye shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And there's your shoes, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is Christ saying the tribulation shall work for good, the blessing shall be in it. And you think of the Beatitudes and the blessing to be on those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, all of the blessing on the poor, those that are poor in spirit, and all the time which savours it, that makes it able to walk through, is as it were walking with gospel shoes, walking with believing that these are part of the all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so it is with those shoes on that their blessing is a blessing of iron and brass. The gospel bears my spirit up, and it's with oaths and promises and blood. And it is enduring. The gospel shall never perish. It is the everlasting gospel, good news of salvation through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The second way is to walk by faith. Shoes, as it were, of faith. Not by sight, but by faith. That is how we walk. And if we're viewing things in that way, if we're treading on this world and that which we go through, we view it by faith, that will make all the difference in every place that we go. Right through again with the children of Israel, they had to trust in the Lord. They had to believe in the Lord. In all the sacrifices, they had to look past them to see Christ. My mind goes to the end of Psalm 107. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord, is of viewing it by faith and viewing what the Lord has done. He that will watch providence will never lack a providence to watch. You see that the Lord is in it. And we'll see the Lord's hand going before, trusting in him. When the Lord prayed for Peter, it was that his faith fail not. Here we have the picture of shoes of iron and brass. But our Lord prays for Peter as he's walking in this path, in this trial, when his Lord is to be crucified, when he falls and denies his Lord, that his faith fail not. Those shoes of faith shall still be there, still stand him good. He'll walk through that, he'll endure it, and he'll still be a follower of the Lamb. He'll still be walking in the ways of the Lord. Faith will not wear out. Faith given by God will not wear out. Man's faith will, but God's will not. We need shoes like that. Then what about the word of God? The psalmist says in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And the hymn writer says, order my footsteps by thy word. It is the word of God, that which goes before the people of God. The Lord Jesus Christ directs his people in the word. Another way of looking at it is he puts forth his sheep, he goeth before them. He goeth in the way, and they, if we were to put our shoes and our steps in the way of his steps, then he marks out that way and goes before his people in that way. It is said, and I can't remember the whole account, but the footsteps, I think it is in the sand, and looking at these two sets of footsteps, one of the Lord's people and one of the Lord. And I think it was a dream someone had. And they asked the Lord, but why this? Why when there's worst times in my life, there's only one set of footsteps. Why did you leave me then? The answer was, I didn't. I carried you then. That is why there is only one lot of footsteps. But it's a blessed thing to actually go in his steps. Sometimes you might have followed someone in a path that they knew, perhaps through the bush or some marshy ground, and they said, watch where we put our feet. You put your feet where I put my feet. And then they go safely. If we are to be kept, if we are to walk right, then it shall be with the word, shod with the word of God. That will never wear out. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, Satan, in one sense of walking, he says and tempts the Lord to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, and he uses the word of God as a warrant. The angels shall bear thee up in their arms, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But the Lord takes another of the word. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And if it's to be our shoes, to be iron and brass, strength and durable, then it will be not just an isolated text here or there, perhaps taken out of context, but the whole word of God in context, the Lord's message to his people. So that again is our shoes of iron and of brass. Another is prayer. How to be blessed with prayer that endures, prayer that is strong to pierce the skies, that of which shall be our guide and our help. How our Lord insisted that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in that path that they are to walk, the same as our Lord walked, he walked a path of prayer, so they to walk as well. And to have shoes of iron and brass, with prayer as strong, that shall pierce the skies, and that shall keep us and deliver us from every evil and every place that we go in. You know, in one sense, these shoes of iron and brass are not like the illustration I used before. You've got to think, well, where am I going to go and what kind of shoes will I put on? These are shoes we need all the time, and this is the shodding we need all the time, in whichever place, in whichever way we go. If only the children of Israel had took to prayer and asking the Lord instead of taking the victuals and taking just what they saw from the Gibeonites, then they would not have been deceived. They asked not counsel at the Lord. And so in that walking, how that they proved then that, well, the Lord upheld that covenant they made with them, and they were hewers, the Gibeonites, servants to the children of Israel, but they weren't allowed to destroy their land. But we have these warnings where without those shoes, without that endurance, then we slip. But to have that blessing, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The picture that is here, shoes that are hard wearing, resistant to corrosion, to wear. One thing that was said and reminded of the children of Israel when they got to the end of their journey, that their shoes had not worn out, their garments had not grown old all of those years. It was a miracle that it was so. Many of us, we need new shoes every few years, but not them for the 40 years in all of that harsh area. The other thought here is, the picture here is shoes not just of one metal, but an alloy of joined together. And when we think of some of the things we've mentioned, we think of the word and of faith. the word did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And we get the idea of that which the people of God need to walk with is not just an isolated thing. It is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, the word doesn't profit us. And in everything, there is joining faith with each inspection of the word, with prayer with each inspection of the word, asking of the Lord, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so it's a binding together of several things. Like we said regarding Satan's temptations, it is written again. It is the strength of joining it together, not just one on its own. I often think of the way that we are to be directed surely in life's journey. And I've always seen this as the right way to do. Three things must match up. And as I might have mentioned this before, but on the ferry from Melbourne to Tasmania, going through the very narrow gap at the heads at Port Phillip Bay, and I was privileged to be on the bridge one night as we went through that gap. And the captain, he was describing how that they got to know when the ship was right in the centre course. And he said, you see those two lighthouses that were over on the shore. He says, as the ship comes round, he said, those two will blend into one. But of course, it wasn't just 2 points. There was 3 points because we made the third point. You can get 2 points and that can line up and not be a straight line. But you try and make 3 points, you've got to get them in exact line to be all one. And it was a lesson to me. I think Mr. Ansbottom uses a similar illustration in his book. But that's one I saw actually live myself and in putting into practice by the captain of the ship. It's going back many years. And I always view it in this way. The Lord directs us where to go. There'll be three things that line up. One will be the providence of God. He will open or shut doors. You might have an exercise and desire to have a certain job, but if that job is not open to you and offered to you, there's no way you can have that job. Providence, the Lord opens it or closes it. The second is the word of God. You might have a providential opening, but it be contrary to the word of God, and you cannot do it. You should not go in that way. God's word forbids it, however much it is open. And the other thing is ourselves. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. The Lord will make us inclined to go in that way. Some have erroneously, I believe, thought on this. If there's a right way to go and you've got two things offered to you, well, you crucify the flesh. You take the one you least want because then that's God's way. No, it is not God's way. If God will prepare you to go in a way, he will prepare you. He'll incline your heart. He'll make you willing. And he'll open up the providence and he'll make it clear that it is the word. One of the ways that Paul was stopped, I think it was to go into Bithynia, the Spirit suffered us not. And I know what it is to even look at a house to buy. And it's been the right location, right price, everything's been right, right according to the word of God. But no liberty on my spirit at all to make the deed. I could not possibly have moved in it. Explain it? No, I couldn't. I didn't know why, but I know what is meant, why the Spirit suffered them not. And I know what it is the other way, to be made willing and to have the Lord take away objections and to make those things that we took as objections to be things that were for us. And in that way, then, there is to be those things that are joined together in direction and joined together in our walking. shoes, not just of iron, not just of brass, but brass and iron. Those things that are working together for good for the people of God. How blessed to have of the Lord that suitable footwear. You know, if you think of walking across pebbles at the beach with no footwear whatsoever, very difficult, isn't it? You just put on footwear and it changes it straight away. You can walk in that path. And so it is here. We have the blessings of these shoes given by the Lord, the ability to walk and go in the path He has appointed, even hard places, difficult places, the Lord will bring us safely through. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So lastly then is a blessing on the days of our life. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. There's two ways I view this. One is that which immediately really shows itself here, the days of our life. Moses, it was said when he died that he was still in full strength. He still had the same strength. Caleb, when he sought the land, when they came into the promised land, he said 40 years ago, the strength that he had then, he still had now. And the Lord had given him that strength. Now that, of course, the Lord's people know that as our years increase, we do grow weaker physically. And that was a miracle for Moses, for Caleb. And yet many of the Lord's people find us in Ecclesiastes, the signs gradually get more and more that this tabernacle must be laid low. But David, he prayed that the Lord would increase his strength before he, or recover his strength before he went hence and was no more. And I believe that is the spiritual strength of the people of God, that they might have that strength of faith and endurance, that they arrive at home, at the harbour, really in full sail, that they have a desired haven. They long to get there, and that remains, that sharpness, to the end. I know, especially when there's mental afflictions, that that will not be the case. You must separate mental afflictions, afflictions of the mind, and the existence of the soul and the blessings of the soul. Don't think that the Lord's people have lost their faith if they afflict it in their minds and perhaps say things that are not consistent with their faith. The Lord can break through on that. But the endurance unto the end is what is promised here for the people of God. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. A blessing is not to be a blessing for just a day, but like we had this morning, my God forever, our God forever and ever. And so the walk of the people of God is as their days, that's as long as their strength shall be. The other way of looking at it is not in number of days, but in the type of day. The days that you and I live in are very different from the days of our forefathers. We do not have to go down to the well at the back of the garden to get water. You don't have to light the candle or the gas. We have everything. We have the flick of a switch. Our forefathers didn't know anything about all the computers, the conveniences. you go back to the days of the scriptures, their way of getting about was horse, was cart, was chariot. It wasn't how we go about. Our days are so very different. And even going back 100 years, on the farm you would see 50 workers all working on the farm together. Now you see one combine harvester and one poor lonely farmer sitting in it. And they're very different days, and each day brings its different trials and tribulations with it. And the Lord anticipates that. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever changes, whatever differences. I know many of the Lord's age people, even any age, they struggle sometimes with the changes in their days and changes in the things that have happened in their lifetime. We are warned not to say, why are the former days, why are these days not as the former days? We're to know that these things in our lives, they're in the Lord's hand. And when it comes to our walk and our conduct, nothing shall take the Lord by surprise. He knows it. He can appoint in our day, just as he did in the children of Israel's day, though they, in a lot of outward ways, so very different. We're not living in tents. We're not in a desert. But the Lord is the same. And the promises are the same for his people and for his living family in the church of God. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So may this word be a help and encouragement to us who desire to walk. Walk where the Lord would have us to walk, and walk in the way that the Lord would have us to go. And walk as enduring in that way, whatever changes are in it, and right down to the end of our life. May it be our blessing that Asherah, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now I want to leave you with one other thought. So shall thy strength be. What is the strength of the people of God? If we were to ask the people of the Lord here, what is thy strength? Would it not be that our strength is the Lord? Is he not the strength of his people? The strength of Israel. The Lord says, because I live, ye shall live also. No man can keep alive his own soul. But while the Lord is on the throne, while he is the strength of his spiritual Israel, then his people can never be weak. The apostle says, when given the blessing in his trial, that my grace is sufficient for thee, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Much rather then will I glory in my infirmities, that the strength of God may be in me. And may that be that description then of our God, our strength, thy strength. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning. Mr. Ian Sadner will preach in the evening. Our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Our closing hymn is number 946. 946. How is our nature marred by sin? Nor can it ever find a way to make the conscience clean or heal the wounded mind. Hymn 946.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.